welcome. And I know you all feel like I feel, you know, you don't want to hear me rap, because I'm waiting for it too, you know. I just like to say she's here, you know, Miss Giovanni's here. We'd like to welcome y'all to Dutchess. Those that are here for the first time, and keep coming back, you know, when we have speakers, and right on for BSU, etc. That's all I got to say, you know. Miss Nikki Giovanni.
It is warm enough. He said it was going to be a brief introduction, and usually when people say that, they don't mean it. But I see he did. It's very pretty here. I've never been to Dutchess Community College before. That's very lovely. I hope we all have the Christmas spirit. Do we all have the Christmas spirit? Y'all, I'm distressed. I'm on my way home. This is my last speaking engagement of the year until 1974, and I've been asking all the kids if you have the Christmas spirit. Nobody has it. That's really a terrible thing. First of all, you've got to spend because the government is in a lot of trouble. And if you all don't spend money, it's going to really be a problem. You have no idea. Something like 22,000 pilots were let out of work. Somebody's got to generate, you know, in the economy where they used to generate. If you have a credit card or something like that, you know, use it. I mean, it's patriotic. And you buy now and pay later, and then if you can't pay later, you don't have to worry about being out of a job, because once you owe American Express or MasterCharge or some of those people a couple of $1,000, they'll hire you. So it's a form of job insurance. Plus, I like Christmas. It just happens to be my favorite time of the year. I see this is the energy crisis. I made a mistake on this whole tour. I wore four blouses. I'm going to have to start putting a sweater on. I don't know what we're going to do about that. I think it's going to be a real problem, to tell you the truth. Because the other night I was looking at it. Now, if all the temperature in buildings like this is, what, 68 degrees, right? That means that you're cold all day long. And you go home and it's 68 degrees and you're cold. And then you have a friend. Well, the only thing you'll probably do is hop in bed so you keep your feet warm. Which is healthy, I suppose, but then that's going to generate a baby boom, and that's going to generate more need for more energy. So I don't... I don't know. I don't think that we're going to get it solved. I noticed the administration is backing off a bit now. Did you notice? They said, gee, we've miscalculated. It's not 25%. It's only 5. And the next thing you know, really, that you're going to find that there's no energy crisis. Nixon is just trying to get your mind off Watergate. That's what that's all about. God, isn't that one insufferable man, though? And you wake up in the morning, and I used to dream about him, you know, the big boogeyman coming at me. It's a terrible, terrible thing. I have a... It's true. I have a four-year-old, for example, who's really funny. He doesn't, I mean, like all four-year-olds, he'll eat sometimes he won't. And now all of the Watergate figures, for some reason, Ego Crow turns him on. You know, that he's really, for some reason, very competitive with Ego Crow. He saw him on TV, and he said, oh, I can run faster than that guy, and it got to be a thing. So now every morning when I want him to eat his breakfast, I say, well, Mr. Crow eats his breakfast, you know. So Thomas downs his cereal. He says, I'm bigger than Ego Crow. But I must write Agle a note. I bet you didn't know he's a boogeyman in my house. It's really, the whole thing is insane. I hope that all of you, this is a community college, I understand, and I would say it's a very serious thing. I hope that all of you all are making very good grades, though. I'm sure that we are. I know that this is unnecessary and mean of me to mention things like that, because I know you're all making magnificent, fantastic grades, so that when you finish Dutchess, you can go on to a higher school and get another kind of degree, and then you go on and study for a year abroad, which is not bad. You know, you think about going abroad because this country is really going to hell. And the more you... That's true. There's a lot of universities. I just returned from a six-week tour in Africa and 1 week in London. And there are a lot of universities and things that really, you know, would be exciting to go to. So you have to think about, you know, the long run. And one of the things that you find, and I say this in all honesty, is if you make good grades, and not the grades are everything, they just happen to be most things. You know, it just makes it a lot easier. If you're going to be in school and if there's a way to, you know, like make the dean's list and things like that, it's really very helpful. And then when people say, well, gee, you know, scholarship money is drying up and we don't know if we can help you out, you know, and you're only making a C or a D, then you can say, oh, no, no, no. You see, I was on the dean's list here and there and there and there. And they say, oh, well, then maybe we have to keep you. Because, you know, folks would be trying to get rid of you all. I mean, you know that. The same way I know that. So why give them an excuse? The streets are very cold this year. If they were cold last year, which they were, they're even worse this year. And now you can't even get a Cadillac and ride around. There ain't no gasoline. So we're going to have to think about that. I just think, and I've been on my little crusade, I think that we're going to have to think about a black governor for the state of New York, and I think we'll have to think about a black president for the United States. I mean, that's really sneaky and unfair and dirty, though not unusual, of Rockefeller. I mean, for those who voted for Rockefeller when they did, which I didn't, then they voted for Rockefeller to be governor, right? They didn't vote for that other dude that nobody even knows, what's his name, Wilson. Nobody even know the man, and all of a sudden, because Rockefeller doesn't feel like being governor anymore, he quits. There's something wrong with that. You know, if that was a black man, they would have a fit if he would have done it that way, right? Or if Basil Patterson was lieutenant governor, you know, and Goldberg had made it, they would have had a fit if he just said, well, I'm tired of being governor today, so I'm going to quit. You understand what I mean? So it's time we thought about getting some folks in that make sense to us. Because nothing could be crazier than this crap going on right now. The next thing you know, it's going to be Gerald Ford. Yeah, and I have nothing against Ford. I think it's nice that he can at least go out into the backyard. Did you see a picture of him in the backyard with a sweater on? I thought, now that's at least human. You ain't seen no pictures of Nixon in a sweater. That's true. But you got a dude there. I saw him accept the, whatever you call it, the oath of office, right? And he's standing there, and Berger, who is no particularly, you know, bright dude anyway, Berger's standing there saying, repeat after me, I, Gerald R. Ford, do solemnly swear, and then this is where they tripped him up, to uphold the Constitution and protect the law. And it was a long sentence, and he says, to. And there was this blank. Did you see? There's a mess, a blank. I mean, a man can't repeat something that somebody repeats, so he got through it. Which I guess is best, because Nixon just repeats things and he doesn't even know what he's saying. For those of you who have seen Westworld, now you know what happened to Watergate. That's what that's all about, man. Now, it's really sad. So President Ford, I had a bet on Agnew. I was in Kenya when Agnew resigned. And I had bet a friend of mine $20 that he would have to go. I said, no, Agnew's gone, because you could see that nobody wanted him. So when Agnew left, I won my $20. So I sent a telegram back to the state. I said, double or nothing on the president by spring. So I'm hoping, you know, I really could use my $40 in this money market. So if you all have any influence with your congressman, you know, write him and say impeach, you know. It's really been something. I saw Herman Badillo. I was coming back from Washington. And poor Herman, who I thought really should have been mayor of New York. You know, I really wanted to see him do that. So he sneaks onto the plane. I guess he didn't want to be bothered with anybody. I happened to notice him. So I didn't want to disturb him, because I understand what it's like to be disturbed when you're trying to get some rest to read your paper. But I just looked over to the other side of the aisle. Said, hi. And you can see, you know, he just goes, oh, God. So he goes, hi. I said, impeach him. And he just he looked at me. That man's got to go. Congress, man, you know, Congress is really foul, though. I really think that Congress is in contempt of the United States. I do. I think that it's just a shame I can't figure out a way what you can do about them, except other than maybe pass some laws. I had suggested to Bella Abzug, because I sit between her district and Charles Rangel's, and they write you things. They don't expect you to answer them. They write you a mimeo sheet, and they say, check off what you would like to see. So they didn't have anything on there that was of interest to me. So I wrote back, you know, it was like, if you have any suggestions, put it on the other side. So I checked the other side. And then it went on for like pages and pages. But one of the things that I think is important, and I think that people like you and I are going to have to think about, is that we've seen how our system can fall apart. And we have seen how we have no control over anything that happens at all, you know. And telegrams and letters and cards don't make it. I think one of the things we need is that, you know, representatives cannot be allowed to run forever, because they feel like it. You have Peter Rudino, who ran 20 years ago when Newark used to be a white, middle-class, suburban kind of city of New York that is now black and radical. And there's Peter Rudino, 20 years later, representing Newark. You know he doesn't even go to his district. Emanuel Seller hadn't been to his district in so long that a little girl named Elizabeth Holtzman beat him because nobody knew who or what he even looked like. He hadn't campaigned there in the last decade. And there's something wrong with a man supposed to be representing you and me. And it's us that really catch it, because on the East Coast, for example, we will lose Shirley Chisholm in a couple of years, for example. We will lose Charles Rangel. But nobody's going to get rid of like an Eastland who happens to be a senator who can run forever and ever. And there's something wrong with senators and representatives being able to run for 20 and 30 years and have more power than anybody else. And they don't care if you and I are suffering. They don't have to buy milk every day. You know, they ride around. I see the government said no more limousines, which is going to mean what? Nothing, right? It ain't going to be nothing. They ain't going to get rid of those. You know, they ride around like they feel like riding around. And you and I will suffer, and our so-called representatives don't represent us. Some of you live in New York. I happen to live in New York. We have Buckley, who is a fool, and Javits. Buckley is. I mean, that's the truth. And we have Javits, who is... I'm not going to even go into that. I tell you, I'm really worried, and I say this in all honesty, this is not a funny thing. I'm really worried about the anti-Semitism of the Nixon administration. Nixon is one of the most vicious men, and I don't think people are really, in certain levels, tuned in. But this whole energy crisis, and I don't see how anybody that's Jewish, I'm asking you to think about it, I don't see how anybody can be Jewish and not know that that's anti-Jewish. Because there's not a person in the United States of America who knows what an Arab looks like. It's not. But you had signs in California that said, burn Jews, not oil. And to me, that's dangerous because I'm black. That's what was happening. There's signs in Massachusetts that we can do without Jews, but not without oil. Bumper stickers. And you know what them bumper stickers mean to folks. And I think it's very serious because for black people, when they start on Jews, they're just one step away from us. So it is to our advantage to try to, you know, put a halt on that. And it becomes a very serious thing because nobody's mad at the Arabs because nobody understands the Arabs. And the Arabs got a right to do with their oil what they want to do with them. But it becomes, we know that. I mean, I can go through my whole Arab thing. I'm so glad the Arabs are screwing America. That's true. Oil that they used to sell for 10 cents a barrel, they now sell for $4 a barrel. And the same businessmen that make up a record, for example, ITT, because ITT makes most of the records that you see in almost all the parking lots, right? It's run by ITT. They can charge you, you know, $2 for space, a half an hour or something like that. And they say that's fair, but the Arabs getting $4 a barrel is not fair. However, there would be enough oil in the United States if businessmen in the United States hadn't made a deal to sell their oil to China. And to, not to China, actually, but to the Southeast Asian chain. So the oil is going out of the United States every day, and they say, well, we have commitments. In the meantime, you know, Americans are freezing to death. They say, well, we're sorry about that. That's the Arabs' problem. It's insane. And it's worrisome to me because I don't like the way, and I'm saying this as honestly as I know how because it's something that we all have to deal with. I don't like the way the groups are being pitted against each other. I'm concerned, for example, about the black feminists for the same reason. There's something strange about the women's lib, and then you come around, that okay, women's lib is one thing and black feminism is another. And I don't understand that. Either we all women or we all black, you know. And that whole statement that women's lib made, which made no sense to me, that I think it was Flo Kennedy and I forgot the other, Robin, is that her name? Jill Johnson or Robin, what's Robin, somebody or other? Robin Morgan said that until all women are lesbians, all women won't be free. And it didn't, that's what she said, one of them. I know Flo Kennedy quoted it, which didn't make sense to me because it made more sense to me to say until all women are niggas, all women won't be free because that's the least common denominator. And you watch Women's Lib, which is super white, which is now even getting rid of its lesbians because they're sending them over to black feminists to deal with, and that ain't right. That's really not right because there's no such thing as a woman without a man, and no matter what the difficulties are, and I think we have to face that, women do not substitute for women. It won't work. I mean, it might be fun or interesting or whatever them communes are doing, but when it comes down to it, that's true. And we're going to have to stop some of this hatefulness because white women are upset with white men. I don't think that it's fair to say that all men are wrong, all white men are wrong. For whatever it means, they built a nation. And for whatever it means, we helped them build it. That means that we have some common bond. See, of course, black men and black women always have difficulty and always will. For a long, long time until black men come into power, it's going to be a problem. But then you turn around and say you have to ignore your husband, your brother, your lover, and your son in order to be free. Then I don't know what freedom means. You know, and I don't like, and I say it again, I don't like the way that they're sending the Jews out there right now. Because I know that America has a lot of anti-Jewish feeling. And to watch that rise, then it's going to become an anti-black feeling. Then who's going to be left? Them same little old white men sitting on Wall Street playing with the stock market. And there's something wrong with that. Because you and I will feel satisfied. You know, we'll go out and we'll hurt a Jew, and the Jews will come back and they'll hurt a nigger. And everybody feels satisfied, and we're all getting screwed. We will eliminate each other. And they'll sit there and say, see? Because we're all niggers, and that's what we don't like to face, but we act like it. Because then any time our interests are being threatened, we come right back to each other instead of dealing with what is the problem here. The problem is we have an incompetent administration, you know, that Nixon is not a good president. He's not even a good person. You know, I mean, he's not a nice man. That's true. That he needs to be, that he needs to be impeached, that that's one of the jobs of Congress at this point, to impeach him and the Senate to try him. I think that if that comes out right, he will be removed, but that's neither here nor there. At least that process should happen. That we need to talk about a quality of life, that the President of the United States, and I think that's been one of the problems, is not there to propose legislation. If you have a chance, read a book called The Imperial Presidency by Schlesinger. He's not there to run the country. He's there to administer the laws, to faithfully execute the laws, and he's there as a moral physician. The last president, some of you may not be in favor of him, but the last president that we had that was a real president was John Kennedy. Who did that? He was cute. That's what a president does. He's cute. If he's not cute, he looks all right. He dresses well. He has a nice little family that everybody relates to, and he smiles a lot. In the meantime, of course, John Kennedy was a conservative, and there's no question about that. He would fight a war, because that's what the president's supposed to do. If Congress wants the war to be fought, then you send the troops. If Congress wants an anti-drug program, then you send the thing down there. But Nixon says, I don't have to be bothered with anything that disturbs me. And there's something wrong with the president sitting up there, and it's just him and Ziegler. I thought he was going with Kissinger for a while. Then it looked like, that's true. And then it looked like, B.B. Rubizo was going to take over. But now it seems to be him and Ziegler down the wire, and they sitting there screwing poor Rosemary Woods, who's too old. That's true. That's a shame. It's really vicious, though, I'm glad I'm not down there, man. I tell you, Ron Dellums for president. That's what I want to see. I really do. I would like to see Ron, or even Ed Brooke I could live with. I would love to see Ron Dellums, though. You don't like Ed Brooke? I think he's cute. He's got to be, I can understand it, but he's got to be better than Nixon. And that's all, we can improve upon Nixon. And I think it's time that the White House has some color in it. Maybe a little Ray Charles coming out, a little Stevie Wonder. Well, country music made it last 4 years because of Nixon, right? If he can create Roy Clark, surely we can get B.B. King, in the White House, or something's got to happen to make America fun again, because this nation ain't no fun. And that's the trouble. Everybody's bored. Aren't you bored all the time? Everybody's bored. And you go around and you buy things, or you don't buy things, or you window shop and you're still bored, and you go out and you make love and you're still bored. There's something wrong. That's true. I mean, most people are really bored to death. And you say, why are we bored? Because we have a bore running the nation. That's why. We're going to have to get out of that. There's a good movie I should tell you about since you're going home and some of you live in bigger cities. It's a movie called Executive Action, which is really good. And there's a movie called Serpico, which I think is excellent. Al Pacino is such a doll, isn't he? Hooray for Italian power. I think he's really precious. Those are two good ones. There's some more floating around. The Second Gun, if you get a chance to see it, which you probably won't because nobody likes that movie. The movie opened at Cinema 2 on like a Wednesday, and a Wednesday night it was closed. It's about the killing of Bobby Kennedy, and they don't really want that to get around at all. All of which has nothing to do with these poems. I'm going to read some poems. I did some sentimental poems because I'm a sentimental person. And in the my last book of poems is called My House. And I did it primarily, I began to look back on what has made us a strong people, For example, people like my grandmother taught people like me how to quilt or how to make bread, And that became a legacy which I considered as valid as if they had given me stocks or bonds or lots of property or something. And I think that, one of the things that's been happening is that we have lost track of who we are in terms of continuity, that we have become disgusted with a lot of things, so we've overthrown the whole thing. We don't like our parents anymore. We don't like ourselves. We don't like, the way things run. And I thought, well, it's not all so bad. So I began to look at individuals. I'm going to share a poem that I did about my mother because I thought, well, gee, I've never really told my mother other than like when she gave me something. You understand what I mean? Then I would say, well, I really love you. But when she was just, doing her regular thing, it didn't mean anything. So I wrote a poem to say, well, I love you when you're doing your regular thing. You're not really doing anything special and you haven't given me anything lately. So I wrote this poem in 72, which was last year. About this time, too, remember, like last year. The last time I was home to see my mother, we kissed, exchanged pleasantries and unpleasantries, poured a warm, comforting silence around us, and read separate books. I remembered the first time I consciously saw her. We were living in a three-room apartment on Burns Avenue. Mommy always sat in the dark. I don't know how I knew that, but she did. That night, I stumbled into the kitchen, maybe because I've always been a night person, or perhaps because I had wet the bed. She was sitting on a chair. The room was bathed in moonlight, diffused through tiny window panes. She may have been smoking, but maybe not. Her hair was three-quarters her height, which made me a strong believer in the Samson myth, and very black. I'm sure I just hung there by the door, and I remember thinking, what a beautiful lady. She was very deliberately waiting, perhaps for my father to come home from his night job, or maybe for a dream that had promised to come by. Come here, she said. I'll teach you a poem. I see the moon. The moon sees me. God bless the moon, and God bless me. I taught that to my son, who recited it for her, just to say, We must learn to bear the pleasures as we have borne the pains. It's a poem called Conversation, which is it's one of my favorites. A little old lady. Some of you, if you've never been south, you really should go, you know. Like now you're going to have to hitchhike because you can't fly anymore. But I'm glad we broke down that bus thing, because obviously we're going back to trains and buses. Now we can sit up front if we want to. Yeah. You know, one thing, I'm not going to get onto that, this whole thing. Do you realize it's only 10 years since you could really go any place that you wanted to go, if you could afford to go, or ride any place that you're in? 10 years. That 10 years ago, you know, we had Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Rap Brown, and Stokely Carmichael. You understand, being strong men by any standard. And now what he got Richard Nixon, old fag. All by himself. There's not even an ex-president around. Not anybody, you know. Which has nothing to do with this poem, except that there's a little old lady down south when you meet them. You know, you go by their houses, the dirt roads, and you say, evening, they say, evening. So how you doing? You say, fine. And then they usually want to stop and talk to you. And back, you go back and forth, and they're very persnickety old ladies, and they have a lot to tell you. I love them. They're funny old ladies, you know. So I did a poem called Conversation. Yeah, she said, my man's gone too. Been dead longer than you is old. What do you do, I ask? Sit here on a porch and talk to the old folk. I rock and talk and go to church most times. But aren't you lonely sometimes, I ask? Now, you got to answer your own question. I guess the children help a lot. You got grandchildren, haven't you? Oh, the children, they come and go. Always in a hurry. Got something to do. Ain't got no time for old folk like me. She squinted at the sun, packing her jaw with brutin' snuff. The old days done gone, and I say goodbye. Peoples be going to the moon and all. Ain't that wonderful? To the moon. And I said, I see stars all the time. Aretha Franklin and Sly were at Madison Square Garden recently. What you doing here, she asked. I'm a poet, I said. Well, that ain't no reason to be uppity. And the sun beat down on my head while a dragonfly admonished my flippancy. But a blue and yellow butterfly sat on my knee. I looked her square in the eye. I ain't gonna tell you, she said, and turned her head. Ain't gonna tell me what, I asked. What you asking me? You got to live to be 79 before you could understand anyhow. Now you being uppity, I said. Yeah, but I earned it, she replied. And shifting her wad, she clapped her hands together and smiled. You've been here before. And I said, yes, ma'am. But would you tell me just one thing? What did I learn? And she spat out her juice. Honey, if you don't know, how can I? And I wanted to argue, but the sun was too hot and the sky too lazy, and God heaved a sigh. She crossed her legs at the ankle and straightened her back. Tell you this, she said. Keep your dress up and your pants down, and you'll be all right. And I said impatiently, old lady, you got it all wrong. Honey, I ain't never been wrong yet. You better get back to the city, because you one of them technical niggas, and you'll have problems here. Dirty old lady. But you can't take that literally now. 1 ounce of truth benefits like ripples on a pond. 1 ounce of truth benefits like a ripple on a pond. 1 ounce of truth benefits like ripples on a pond. As things change, remember my smile. The old man said, my time is getting near. The old man said, my time is getting near. He looked at his dusty, cracked boots to say, sister, my time is getting near. When I'm gone, remember I smiled. And when I'm gone, remember I smiled. I'm glad my time is getting there. The baby cried, wanting some milk. The baby cried, needing some milk. The baby, he cried for wanting. His mother kissed him gently. When I came, they sang a song. When I was born, they sang a song. When I was saved, they sang a song. Remember, I smiled when I'm gone. Remember, I smiled when I'm gone. Sing a good song when I'm gone. We ain't got long to stay. Okay. I'm going to give up smoking. It's a filthy habit, and then your throat gets all messed up, and then your teeth are all messed up, and your tongue is messed up, and you taste bad when people kiss you. But I'm addicted. I'm a junkie for a cigarette. It's crazy. All the habits that we have, you know, insane. And nobody can break them. I do want to read some love poems. I wrote some because I think it's important. And as you know, we began, you know, talking about Nation Time all the time. And we talk about the revolution all the time. And all of that, I think, is fine. But I couldn't see a Nation Time without children. And I couldn't see children without love. And I couldn't see love without love poems. So this is revolutionary, what I'm going to read to you. It's called Communication. If music is the most perfect language, think of me as one whole note. If science has the most perfect symbol, picture me as MC squared. Since mathematics can speak to the infinite, imagine me as one to the first power.
You all right? Whoop. Get me over here. What can I put it to? Right here? Baby, take your time, okay?
Thank you. Should I start it again? It's a short poem. I don't care what you say. You got the Christmas spirit. You're just not calling it that. Either that or y'all taking funny pills and smoking funny cigarettes. Okay. We're going to do this poem. If music is the most perfect language, think of me as one whole note. If science has the most perfect symbol, picture me as MC squared. Since mathematics can speak to the infinite, imagine me as one to the first power. What I mean is, one day, I'm going to grab your love, and you'll be satisfied. I seldom drink water. It didn't taste bad. Now I'm a big Coke fiend. Coca-Cola. In the bottle. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Folks take things backwards. Okay, now, this is a very serious love poem. You know it is. Now, see, it's not right. No, the sisters will understand. I see enough sisters in the room, so I read the poem for the sisters who understand. It's called The Butterfly. Those things which you so laughingly call hands are, in fact, two brown butterflies fluttering across the pleasure they give my body. That's right. That's making love as opposed to some of those other things folks do together. I won't get into that today. It's too cold. There's a storm coming. Yeah, it is. It's going to be freezing tonight. Did you know that? That's what the weatherman said. Because what does he know? I'll read this one because this is a silly love poem. This is not as serious as that one, so you can laugh. It's called Winter Poem. Once a snowflake fell on my brow, and I loved it so much. And I kissed it, and it was happy, and called its cousins and brothers, and a web of snow engulfed me then. I reached to love them all, and I squeezed them, and they became a spring rain, and I stood perfectly still and was a flower. Folks are always surprised when black poets write love poems. It's important. Some of you are writing love poems. Do it, you know, because other people will write about the problems. I have made my one decision. I made the problems will always be with us, so there's no point in hashing over that crap. It's a question of whether it would be fun or whether it would be charming or whether it would be livable. Because they're not nobody's problem is going away, not ours or theirs or yours, anybody else's, which has nothing to do with this poem. It's called My House. I only want to be there to kiss you as you want to be kissed when you need to be kissed, where I want to kiss you because it's my house and I plan to live in it. I really need to hug you when I want to hug you as you like to hug me. Does this sound like a silly poem? I mean, it's my house, and I want to fry pork chops and bake sweet potatoes and call them yams because I run the kitchen and I can stand the heat. I spent all winter in carpet stores gathering patches so I could make a quilt. Does this really sound like a silly poem? I mean, I want to keep you warm. And my windows might be dirty, but it's my house. And if I can't see out sometimes, they can't see in either. English isn't a good language to express emotion through, really, I imagine, because people try to speak English instead of trying to speak through it. I don't know. Maybe this is a silly poem. I'm saying it's my house, and I'll make fudge and call it love and touch my lips to the chocolate warmth and smile at old men and call that revolution, because what's real is really real. And I still like men in tight pants, because everybody has something to give and, more important, needs something to take. And this is my house, and you make me happy, so this is your poem. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was death, and the Word was nigger, and the Word was death to all niggers, and the Word was death to all life, and the Word was death to all peace, be still. The Genesis was life, the Genesis was death, and the Genesis of death was the Genesis of war, be still, peace, be still. In the name of peace, they waged the wars, ain't they got no shame? In the name of peace, Lot's wife is now a product of the Morton Company. No, they ain't got no shame. Noah packing his wife and kitties up for a holiday. Row, row, row your boat. But why'd you leave the unicorns, Noah, huh? Why'd you leave them? While our black Madonna stood there, 18 feet high, holding him in her arms, listening to the rumblings of peace, be still, be still. Can I get a witness, 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 he wanted to know. And Peter only asked, who is that dude? Who is that black dude? Looks like a troublemaker to me. And the foundations of the mighty, mighty Roman Catholic Church were laid. Hallelujah, Jesus, no. They ain't got no shame. Because they killed the Carthaginians in the great Appian Way. And they killed the Moors to civilize a nation. And they just killed the earth and blew out the sun in the name of a God whose genesis was white. And war wooed God, and America was born, where war became peace and genocide patriotism. And honor is a happy slave because all God's children need rhythm. And glory, hallelujah, why can't peace be still? The great emancipator was a bigot. Ain't they got no shame? And making the world safe for democracy were 20 million slaves. No, they ain't got no shame. And they barbecued 6 million to raise the price of beef and crossed the 16th parallel to control the price of rice. Ain't we never going to see the light? And champagne was shipped out of the East, while kosher pork was introduced to Africa. Only the torch can show the way. In the beginning was the deed, and the deed was death, and the hunkies are getting confused. Peace, be still. So the great white prince was shot like a nigger in Texas, and our black shining prince was murdered like that thug in his cathedral, while our nigger in Memphis was shot like their prince in Dallas, and my Lord, ain't we never gonna see the light? The rumblings of this peace must be stilled, be stilled. Be stilled. All black people, ain't we got no pride? It's a poem called Revolutionary Dreams, which I like. I used to dream, militant dreams, of taking over America to show these white folks how it should be done. I used to dream radical dreams of blowing everyone away with my perceptive powers of correct analysis. I even used to think I'd be the one to stop the riot and negotiate the peace. Then I awoke and dug that if I dreamed natural dreams of being a natural woman, doing what a woman does when she is natural, I would have a revolution. This is my favorite poem. It's called Ego Tripping. I was born in the Congo. I walked to the Fertile Crescent and built the Sphinx. I designed a pyramid so tough that a star that only glows every 100 years falls into the center, giving divine, perfect light. I am bad. I sat on the throne drinking nectar with Allah. I got hot and sent an ice age to Europe to cool my thirst. My oldest daughter is Nefertiti. The tears from my birth pains created the Nile. I am a beautiful woman. I gazed on the forest and burned out the Sahara Desert. With a packet of goat's meat and a change of clothes, I crossed it in 2 hours. I'm a gazelle. So swift, you can't catch me. For a birthday present when he was 3, I gave my son, Hannibal, an elephant. He gave me Rome for Mother's Day. My strength flows ever on. My son Noah built Newark, and I stood proudly at the helm as we sailed on a soft summer day. I turned myself into myself and was Jesus, Minintone, my loving name. All praises, all praises. I am the one who would save. I sold diamonds in my backyard. My bowels deliver uranium. The filings from my fingernails are semi-precious jewels. On a trip north, I caught a cold and blew my nose, giving oil to the Arab world. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair from my head thinned and gold was laid across 3 continents. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal, I cannot be comprehended except by my permission. I mean, I can fly like a bird in the sky.